In the name of Jesus, amen. In the small catechism, the first article of the creed, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth," is explained this way. "I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason, and all my senses, and still takes care of them." And to apply especially to today's gospel reading, "He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life." And then fast forwarding a little bit, "All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him." And then, moving ahead to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, which Lutherans can't get together without praying, it seems, and that's a good thing. The early church prayed this prayer three times a day. "Give us this day our daily bread." What does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. Guess what? That all evil people includes you and me, for we are by nature sinful and unclean. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. But what is meant by daily bread? Well, daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and the needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, etc., etc. What the Catechism teaches is what the Scripture teaches, that every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of heavenly lights, without whom there is no shadow of turning, or with whom there is no shadow of turning. Every good thing you have comes to you as a gift from God. The food you had this morning at breakfast, the food you will have at dinner, the clothing you wear, the homes where you live in, it all comes from God. Do we believe that? If we believe that, then we have to believe something about Jesus Christ. We have to believe either that he was some kind of sleight of hand artist by his supposed multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, 5 loaves, little barley loaves, 2 fish, to feed a multitude of 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, a multitude numbering something like 15 to 20,000, possibly. So was Jesus a magician along the order of David Copperfield? How did he do that? The crowd wondered. Or was there something else involved here? Something more than meets the eyes. Now, liberal biblical commentators will say that the miracle of the feeding of the multitude did not actually happen. They will say that there was this little boy who, when it was time to eat, decided that he would give his lunch or his supper to Jesus, because everyone else, you see, had packed their supper, but they didn't want to bring it out because they didn't want to share with the multitude there. So this little boy brought his, and people were so touched, so moved by his example of generosity, they brought out their suppers too, and there was enough for everybody. And the true miracle here, according to these liberal Bible scholars who deny the truth of Scripture, is that there is generosity in the human heart. And if we only express that generosity, all the needs of all human beings will be provided for. I've already announced my opinion on that, but in case you miss it, I'll repeat it. It's not true. It's not true. Such an interpretation exalts our human race into something more than it is. It makes that little boy an example to follow, that little boy a kind of savior. But the purpose of this passage is not that at all. The purpose of this passage is to bring us to wrestle with the question of who Jesus Christ is, and to see in him something more than a mere human being like you and like me. Now, it is true, our Lord Jesus Christ was true man. The scriptures teach this. How else could he have been born if he was not a human being? How else could he have passed through all the stages of human development? There in Mary's womb, as an infant, a toddler, a young boy, an adolescent, and a full-grown man. If he were not a human being, would he have hungered? Would he have thirsted? Would he have felt pain? Would he have blood flowing through his veins? If he was not a human being, would he have suffered? And would he have died on the cross? Or was that too just an illusion? Well, if it was an illusion, if Christ did not die for the sins of the world, for all of your sins, if he was not raised again for your justification, then you of all people are most to be pitied. So Jesus was a man, a real human being. But no mere man could take 5 little barley loaves of bread and 2 small fish about the size of sardines and make them feed a multitude. Only God can do that. The God who opens his hand and satisfies the desires of every living thing. The God who provides you with all that you need to support this body and this life in this world. The God who gives you all good gifts, even without merit or worthiness on your part. We see in today's gospel reading the miracle, the wonder of God made man. We see the compassion of God toward us poor, needy, miserable sinners, in the compassion that Jesus felt for the crowd that followed him into the wilderness. When he and his disciples needed some time off, Jesus had compassion on them. He healed their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place. There are no Burger Kings near here. There are no 7-Elevens. There are no steakhouses, no Japanese restaurants. Send the people away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Did you get that? Buy food for themselves. Well, today's Old Testament reading from Isaiah says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear to me and come to me. Hear that your soul may live." That's God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. And it is this same God who in Jesus Christ fed the multitude It is this same God who, when he was tempted by the devil to turn these rocks, these stones into bread, replied with the word of Scripture, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." That is the word proclaimed to you this morning, the gospel of forgiveness in Christ Jesus. The gospel of the one who in today's epistle is identified as the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. The gospel of the one who died for the sins of the world. The one of whom Paul said, "I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh." But Paul did not have to be cut off from Christ and accursed. Rather, for the sake of him who identified himself as the chief of sinners, Christ Jesus was cut off from God, his heavenly Father, there on the cross when he was bearing the sins of the world. Christ became accursed for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See, everything God has done for you, he gives you your daily bread and all that means. He gives you complete forgiveness of all of your sins in Christ Jesus. He has washed you in holy baptism. He has brought you into his family. He has claimed you as his own. But today he does something even more that he does every Sunday and every festival of the church year. He gives you, beneath the bread and wine, his body, his blood, for the forgiveness of all of your sins. In the Gospels, the institution of the Lord's Supper takes place at evening, just as it was evening when Jesus fed the multitude. In the Gospels and in St. Paul, the words that Jesus uses to institute the Holy Supper, the verbs, are the same words in today's gospel reading. Jesus takes the loaves. He blesses or gives thanks. He breaks the loaves and he gives them to the disciples. And then the disciples gave them to the crowds. The disciples said, "Send the people away. We don't have enough money. Let them go buy food for themselves." Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And they said, "It's impossible. We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. But when Jesus gets involved, the 5 loaves and 2 fish become, in a way that we cannot possibly understand, other than to say, it is a miracle wrought by the man who is God in the flesh. Through him, the 5 loaves and the 2 fish are enough to feed a multitude. And through this same Jesus Christ, by the power of his word, the bread and the wine become more than bread and wine. They become vehicles for his body and blood. For in taking the bread and eating it, you receive Jesus' body for the forgiveness of your sins. In taking the cup and drinking from it, you receive the blood of Christ shed on the cross for the remission of your sins. And there's enough for the whole world. Jesus doesn't parcel out his forgiveness. He has a dump truck load of forgiveness for sinners. He has a fleet of dump trucks full of forgiveness for the whole world, because his sacrifice is sufficient to pay for all the sins of all the world, all of your sins, even those of which you are most ashamed. So come to the supper. Come to the supper prepared for He who is God in the flesh. Come to the supper of Him who fed the multitude. Come to the supper and receive the bread of heaven, the bread of life, come down from heaven for your everlasting life. Come to the supper, for in coming you come to Jesus, God in the flesh, who without any merit or worthiness on your part forgives you, saves you, gives you eternal life, keeps you firm in your pilgrimage of faith, and enables you to endure in that faith, and will finally bring you to the resurrection of the body and the great marriage feast of the Lamb, of which today's Holy Supper is a foretaste. A foretaste of the feast to come. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior.